Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, Mr. Stevie Mack has entered the building.
Whoop whoop to the whoop whoop, yeah!
Broadcasting live out of Hollywood, California, getting down with the getting down like we always do. Monday through Thursday, that there is the call time. Be there or be square. Let me give you the calling number if you're locked in and loaded up from around the world. Like I know you is, the calling number here is, there it goes, 646-716-6113. Again, that's 646-716-6113. 6113. And then there are all the lucky numbers. You call those numbers, you just might be brought on to the air to participate in tonight's show. Man, we got Montel Jackson, Big Mike, and Reverend Al all locked in and loaded up, ready to comment on any and or all the topics we encroach upon tonight. Let me ask you the question of the day. The question of the day is a very important question. I always ask this question. How is your day? Huh? How is your day? I hope your day is as off the chain as mine. My day is always off the chain. If it's ever on the chain, I yank it all the way off the chain because I'm like walking my dogs off the leash. A resident of Springfield, Illinois was arrested Wednesday morning after police caught the man attempting to smuggle drugs onto an airplane. Now, the arrest took place at Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport, and employees there are reportedly in shock over the events. Now, the gentleman under custody is Christopher Nalkowski. Yeah, he's being charged with drug possession, trafficking, and several misdemeanor charges. Now, the arresting officer claims he has never seen anything like this before and said that he found it hilarious that the culprit thought he could squeeze his way by security. Uh-huh. According to police reports, Nalkowski had almost, check it out now, 30 pounds of heroin inserted in his anus. And what police are saying was a failed attempt to get it on the plane bound for Canada. Unfortunately for Nalkowski, he didn't make it very far through security before being stopped and questioned. He came into the airport sweating and limping as if he was dying. We knew something was up from the get-go. This was Joe Goldsmith, a security guard for the airport, said. I asked him if he needed medical help, and he nervously laughed, claiming he was fine, just needed to get on the plane. He began to walk towards his gate, and from behind I noticed little balloons begin to fall from the leg of his pants. Once he was in custody, oh, I can stop reading like that because there's no longer quotation marks, which means that Goldsmith is no longer talking. So once he was in custody, Nalkowski claimed he had no idea how the drugs got into his anus. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Officer, I have no idea how 30 pounds of heroin got in my ass. Yeah, no. Yeah, maybe I sat on it in the taxi cab. You know, I caught the cab here, and I thought something was kind of strange when I got in the cab. I felt a little lump. And, how did it get through your pants and into your ass? Oh, you know, I did use a public restroom, too. And when I reached for the toilet paper, it probably was enshrined in the toilet paper, and I mistakenly put it up my ass. Yeah, 30 pounds of heroin up your ass, and you have no idea how it got there. Anyway, check this out. Officers at the scene gave him a full cavity search, which took nearly 3 full hours. They searched his ass for 3 hours. 3 hours! I've taken a crap to take 3 minutes. Can you imagine 3 hours of somebody up your ass? Anyway, the final bag was lodged so far inside him that it was almost reaching his intestines. They went deep on him, huh? They couldn't just wait for him to crap it out. You know, normally, that's the case. Why'd y'all dig all the way up in this man's ass? Why didn't y'all just put him in a cell with a bucket and a screen and wait for him to take a crap with cameras on him? I mean, you know, that and give him a whole bunch of prune juice and stuff like that. Anyway, it was insane. It wouldn't stop coming out. After 10 bags, we were in awe. And how he even got it up there. Then, once we began to get into the hundreds, all bets were off. This is what Goldsmith said again. It's definitely one of the records, one for the record books. If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I surely never would have believed it. Whose else eyes he was going to see it with? People always say that, huh? I seen it with my own eyes. Well, you ain't going to see it with your mama's eyes or your brother's eyes. I hope, unless, you, of course, you had an eye transplant. Then you would have seen it with somebody else's eye. Now, if convicted, Nakufsky could face up to 30 years in prison for trafficking. I guess, you know what? If he does get prison time, they're going to be happy to see his ass coming, huh? Literally, his ass coming. You know, you packed 30 pounds of heroin in your ass. His ass is a duffel bag, huh? You know how people smuggle stuff in their ass in prison? Like, sometimes people hide a shank in their ass. Really, a knife, a shank in their ass, right? Or smuggle drugs in prison in their ass. This dude had 30 pounds. They'll probably give him a Medal of Honor when he get there. And, yeah, a trophy. He'll get, like, a really good sweet top bunk, you know, Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black will probably hook up with him. And yeah, his ass is a duffel bag for drugs. So that there just happened. Thank you, Leo Daniels, for sending us this one. Yeah. Did you know George W. Bush was arrested for cocaine possession as well? Yeah, that's old news. Who didn't know about that? If you didn't know, now you know. Here's a man who drives a car through a donut shop after learning they were out of maple glazed. I'm sorry, that's just crazy right there. That's something that you only see in a Tyler Perry movie, something Madea would do, right? In her last episode, Madea, she was at a McDonald's or a Burger King or something. It was like, yeah, I have the bacon, this and that and that. And they say, we're all out of bacon. Madea drove her Cadillac up into the restaurant and jumped out with a hammer. And so, I mean, you know what? Does life imitate art? Does art imitate life? It goes both ways. And in this case, here it is here. Whoop, whoop to the whoop, whoop, yeah. Jonathan Elm, 27, was arrested last Tuesday morning after driving his car through the front window of a local donut shop. Elm was apparently upset that the store, Wicked Good Donuts, had just run out of his favorite donuts, maple glazed. He started yelling and screaming and cursing at us, calling us donut hole whores and pastry pimps. Seriously bizarre and crazy things. Said the shop owner, Marlene Simmons. Let me back up. He called them donut hole whores and pastry pimps. Where'd he even get those words from? What? Maybe he got them out that guy's ass who had 30 pounds of heroin in his ass. Maybe he got those words out of his ass because, you know, that ass carries a lot. Anyway, she says, it was scary. We asked him to leave, and he wouldn't. But when I went to call the police, that's when he ran out of the store. Now, reports by police and people outside the shop say they heard Elm screaming and saw him running out the door where he bolted across the street and got into his car, right? He was parked outside across the road. Now, this is all before he even ran into the place. He started yelling at him, calling him donut hole whores and pastry pimps. Then he ran out the damn place, got into his car, right? Yeah. They say he was parked outside across the road. This was Joey Druin, an eyewitness says, I watched him get into his car and then immediately drive it straight at the front window of the donut store. The glass shattered, and then there were donuts and crullers flying all over the place. Sugar and liquid glaze went everywhere. It was like a diabetic nightmare out here. Let me just stop for a minute. Okay. Do people really talk like that? Come on, that sounds like the writer took liberties on this article right here. Who actually talks like that? Let's back up. Okay. Got into his car and then immediately drove it straight at the front window of the donut store. Okay, that's normal talk. The glass shattered, and then there were donuts and crullers flying all over the place. Okay, the word crullers. I don't know. Who says crullers? I mean, you know, donuts flying all over the place, yeah. But donuts and crullers. That was my first suspicion right here about this article. When he said donuts and crullers, okay? And then it went on to say sugar and liquid glaze went everywhere. Who says that? Sugar and liquid glaze went everywhere. It was like a diabetic nightmare out there. A diabetic nightmare out here. Who the hell says that? Nobody talks like that. Unless this guy was just poetic. You know, he was just waxing poetical. Unless that's how he always talk. And if he does talk like that, somebody get him a record deal or a book deal. Because that there is straight up poetical. Anyway, Elm was knocked unconscious during the accident when his airbag failed to deploy. So this guy got in his car, ran into the place, and his damn airbag didn't even go off. Yeah. Wow. That caused him to crash directly into a rack of fresh-made muffins. Fresh-made muffins. This is like an advertisement for the donut shop, huh? Everything is like commenting on their muffins, their crullers, their glaze and sugar. Here we go. Blueberry corn muffins are top seller on sale this week. 4 for $6.99. Best deal in town, said Simmons. Now, it's starting to really sound like a long-ass ad. They're probably giving this writer of the report free donuts for like a month for writing this ad. I mean, who throws that into a news report? Just out of nowhere. Nobody asked you about that. Oh, okay, yeah. So let's start off. It says, Elm was knocked unconscious during the accident when his airbag failed to deploy, causing him to crash directly into a rack of freshly made muffins. And then right under that, blueberry muffins. Blueberry corn muffins are top seller. On sale this week, 4 for $6.99. Best deal in town. This is the owner of the store. This just sounds, boy. Yeah, anyway. Not surprisingly, there were several police cruisers in the vicinity of the donut shop at the time of the accident. Yeah, because cops love donuts, right? And Elm was immediately arrested and taken into custody, charged with reckless endangerment, attempted assault, and rampant destruction of delicious breakfast foods. They threw the word delicious breakfast foods in there. Okay, this is just too much for me, I tell you, man. Now, police say Elm blames his actions. Wait. He was initially brought to Milford Memorial Hospital to treat minor injuries sustained in the crash. Now, police say that Elm blames his actions on Michael Vail, the actor who played Fred the Baker in many early Dunkin' Donuts commercials. Really? Fred knew when it was time to make the donuts. He was always making the effing donuts. He'd have never run out of maple glaze, never, said Elm in a police interview. Elm was held and released Friday on $15,000 bail and is currently restricted from entering any establishment that sells donuts or donut paraphernalia. Really? Really? That did just happen, huh? Is that what's going on? No comments on that. Anybody got no comments? Okay, I'll make a comment. That was ridiculous. Let's bring in Montel Jackson, Big Mike, and River now, so they can comment on any and or all the topics we encroached upon tonight, or any other comments that they want to bring up. We talked about DWP and telling us that there's a damn water drought while they are wasting water all over the planet. We talked about the man arrested at the airport with 30 pounds of heroin in his anus. We talked about the man driving to the donut shop after learning they were out of maple glaze. And last but not least, we're going to bring up the fact that the the Congress actually fixed their mouth to say, and their action, to sue President Obama, right, for not doing what they think he should be doing. All the damn things going on in and around the world that need to be fixed and dealt with, that's all they can sit up on their ass and do. Somebody needs to run up on Congress with a, you remember a sap? I don't know if you're too young to remember what a sap is, but a sap is a leather satchel filled with BBs or sand or something like that you bop somebody over the head with. Somebody need to whoop Congress' ass with a sap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whoop their ass over the head with a sap because they're a bunch of saps. Yeah, I mean, really, man, really. Damn country is going to pot. We ain't talking about the kind you smoke, neither. I'm talking about the kind you joke. This is tearing our country apart. Let's bring in Montel Jackson, our senior analyst, Montel Jackson. Welcome to the show.
We're all glad to be here. Listen, Stevie Mac, this guy driving into the donut shop because they ran out of the maple glazed donuts. That whole article speaks to me of... And you said it continuously throughout. Sounds like an advertisement for that donut shop, basically. It should be a disclaimer somewhere around that article, just like they do on commercials when they have an actor portraying a patient at a medical facility or something like that. That article should clearly have something saying, for advertisement purposes only. Because, well, it sounds like they're just trying to pitch their blueberry corn muffins, $6.99 for four. That's the special going this week. And the guy who actually did this in Milford, New Hampshire, ran his car into the donut shop. He needs to have his head examined. Because if he'll do that for donuts, imagine what he'll do for something that's even more delicious and succulent. Well, Montel Jackson, and I'm out.
Well, thank you very much, Montel Jackson. Let's bring in our political analyst, Big Mike. And go ahead. Go ahead, Big Mike.
Well, thank you very much again, Stevie Mac. The man who tried to smuggle the heroin in his ass, that was ridiculous. 30 pounds, and I'm talking about, could that be illegal search and seizure?
No, Big Mike, they said they found that he had balloons of heroin trickling down his leg.
Well, basically, what I want to say about that is that was a bad packing job. I mean, you know how people pack their suitcases to go on a trip? That guy did a poor packing job. He needs to fire whoever packed his ass with heroin. And then if you really look at it, it could be one of those cases where he was being forced to do that because nobody in their right mind is going to pack their ass with 30 pounds of heroin unless they're under duress.
Well, I don't know if he's under duress, but he's definitely under arrest, Big Mike. What about the donut shop guy?
Well, that was just ridiculous. I'm sure the cops are going to be really angry at him because he disrupted the flow of donuts for probably a couple of weeks while they have to rebuild the front part of that donut shop. So I'm pretty sure they're pretty angry at him. That's it and that's all.
Well, thank you very much. That was Big Mike and Montel Jackson. Coming to the show right now is Reverend L.
Thank you very much. Listen, glad to be here. Just let me say this. The man driving his car to the donut shop that lost his damn mind, and it's just a sign of the time. People are doing things like that these days, Stevie Mac. People are losing their cotton picking mind. If it ain't over donuts, it's over Chicken McNuggets. If it ain't over Chicken McNuggets, it's over Burger King. People are just going crazy over all sorts of things, and you just wouldn't believe the things that people are losing their cotton picking mind over. Now, in terms of the man getting busted with the 30 pounds of heroin in his anus, yeah, the salad tossing man is going to be happy to see him, because not only is he going to toss that salad, he going to knead that dough. he going to roll his oats. Yeah, he going to flip his pancake. Yeah, he going to...
Okay, Reverend, we get it. all the food innuendos that you ate.
Yeah, he going to... Anyway, just saying, you know. Anyhow, I'm glad to be on the show. In fact, you got a 25-hour marathon going over at New Visions Radio Network. I'm proud you're doing that. We look forward to it, and it's just another feather in your long-running cap. 1,124 episodes. You, sir, are persistent and consistent, and that there will pay off, son. Keep doing what you're doing. Glad to be here. Reverend Al, and I'm out.
Thank you very much. That was Reverend Al, Montel Jackson, and Big Mike right here on yours truly, Stevie Mac Radio. Now we're going to check out what's going on in and around the world of weird news. Some of it's happening up your way. It's just a lot going on, man. Some of this stuff, you can't make this stuff up, man. I cannot make up this stuff. Here's a man who called 911 because a stripper wouldn't have sex with him. You want to guess where this happened at? William McDaniel, 53 years old, was arrested Saturday night after he allegedly called police. He was arrested, okay? After he called police to complain that a stripper would not have sex with him. Ain't that Nathan? McDaniel had been visiting Sagebrush Sam's in Butte, Montana, where police say he gave a woman $350 for a private dance. The dance ended abruptly when McDaniel allegedly became sexually aggressive towards the dancers, law enforcement told the Montana News. Now, unhappy that his advances were denied, the man allegedly called 911 to inform authorities that the woman would not have sex with him. Authorities responded by charging McDaniel with soliciting prostitution. Yeah. Now, Butte Silver Bowl Undersheriff George Skultik told the news that McDaniel felt he was ripped off and assumed he paid $350 for sexual acts that didn't occur. You know, that there just happened. James commented on this, and he said, "Be glad you got a private dance for $350. In some places, that covers the first two drinks." Terry said, "Too bad he did not live in Texas. He could have legally killed her and suffered no consequences." Well, William tends to disagree with you there, Terry. William says, "Hardly. In Texas, you get the death penalty for stealing a packet of cigarettes." Well, there you go right there. Now, Word King Pierre said, "Terry Sanford, she's a thief. She stole his money. That stripper should be charged for something, too." I don't know, Pierre. You know, he gave her $350 for the lap dance. Did he get it in writing ahead of time? Or did he get her on a recording saying, "Yes, I will have sex with you for $350? If he didn't, then that ain't going to hold up nowhere. In fact, if it's illegal in Butte, Montana, for prostitution, then, you know, you can't call the police. You can't enforce that. How do you enforce that? I mean, even tricks on the streets, you can't call the cops if a hooker run off with, if a real hooker, not just a stripper, but a real hooker, a prostitute on the street. If you give her your money, right, and she don't perform the sex act and jump out the car and run, you gonna have to resort to street justice. Okay, because you can't call the police and go, "Hey, yeah, this hooker in a red miniskirt and a blonde wig and some black pumps and fishnet stockings with orange lipstick and a mole on her left cheek and two teeth missing in the front. She took my money and ran down Broadway.
Yeah, your ass is just out of luck, pal, because it's illegal to solicit prostitution unless you're in Nevada, in certain parts of Nevada, like at the Bunny Ranch or something like that. Okay, and there's some other parts of the world where prostitution is legal, but that ain't one of them, player. So yeah, there it is. There, whoop whoop to the whoop whoop. Damn, you just out of luck. There it is right there. Okay, so I'll give you one more. Let's see. Stupid is as stupid does. I can't make this up, folks. Truth is stranger than fiction. Yes, it is. Truth is stranger than fiction. Here's a Florida man who tried to fight fire hydrant. He tried to fight a fire hydrant. Okay. Police have a beef with shoplifting suspect. And here's a woman who feeds tapeworms to her daughter, you stick heifer. Here's a man who steals a shopping scooter to meet with his parole officer. Okay, you know what? This is right up there with top-level stupidity, okay? This happened in Albuquerque, New Mexico. An Albuquerque, New Mexico man is facing charges after police say he drove a stolen electric shopping cart to meet with his probation officer. Yeah, the news report, court papers say, damn, article just blanked out on me in the middle of the article. I was in the middle of the article, and it just, like, disappeared on me. Don't you hate when that happens? I hate when that happens, yeah. So, yeah, here's a man who faked his death to avoid a wedding. What? Say what? Yeah. Anyway, court papers say 18-year-old Michael Johnson rode the electric shopping cart this week to make his scheduled visit. When the probation officer asked Johnson where he got the cart, court documents say Johnson admitted to taking it from the Albuquerque Walmart. Johnson was arrested and charged with larceny and receiving stolen property. Who did he receive it from? Himself. He also violated his probation when he was arrested and was held on a $500 bond. Albuquerque police spokesman Tanner Tixler, says the cart is worth more than $1,800. It was not known if Johnson had an attorney. I would say this. Who wants to represent him? Nobody. So this was like the double whammy. Isn't it the double whammy? Check it out. Okay. He violated. So first of all, he was arrested and charged with larceny and receiving stolen property, receiving it from himself. He violated his probation when he was arrested and was ordered held on bail. Coming to the show right now to talk about the ice bucket challenge that's going around. It's the craze for the ALS Foundation, Lou Gehrig's disease, and a lot of people are throwing ice over their head, ice water, as opposed to donating. Brother Malcolm raised a valid point here, saying that it's bringing awareness to the organization. Let's see what Montel Jackson has to say about it. Montel Jackson, our senior manager, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Stevie Mac. Looking at the ice bucket challenge, I think yeah, that's about right. I mean, sure, you have people challenging other people, and it's somewhat of a game. They look at it not only as a challenge, but as something fun, self-degrading, and entertaining to do all at the same time. So I think it can only be a positive thing, and you even said it yourself. It's taken the place of the fire challenge, setting yourself on fire, and we'd much rather see people dump ice water over their heads than set themselves on fire. Well, you know, so I'm pretty glad that the ice bucket challenge has come along. Want to see what's next? I'm pretty sure they've got something else in store coming up next. This is Montel Jackson, and I'm out.
Well, thank you very much, Montel Jackson. Let's bring in our political analyst, Big Mike, to see what his take on the Ice Bucket Challenge is. Big Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Stevie McIntyre. all the listeners out there in listener land. I'm glad you could tune in. Stevie Mac, before I even comment on this, I just want to say tonight marks your 1,135th episode, and it's not the Thursday night rant yet. That's tomorrow. This is the Wednesday night rant.
Well, Big Mac, I'm certainly glad you corrected me on that. I've been promoting it as a I guess I've been anticipating Thursday night because I'm going to be at the John Lovitz Comedy Club tomorrow night, and I guess that's where we'll be broadcasting live after the show, huh?
Yeah, well, so anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. And now about the Ice Bucket Challenge. Politically, if you look at it, not only is it raising awareness for ACLS, but it is detracting people away from doing something silly like setting themselves on fire. And I think that's a good thing now. If someone gets hurt doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, is the ASL organization, are they responsible for it if somebody gets hurt, the ALS Association?
I don't think so, Big Mike, but you're a political analyst. You should know more about that than us.
I'm sure a lot of people, I've seen some of these video challenges where not only do people get the ice water poured on them, but the whole bucket dropped on their head, knocking them almost unconscious. So I don't think the ALS Association is responsible for this, but this could be just as dangerous as the fire challenge, if you think about it, because people are actually dropping buckets. Now, it's called the Ice Bucket Challenge, but everybody's not using a bucket. I've seen people use a cup, a pan, a pot. People are using any container, a bag of water, you know, ice bag, plastic bags, anything, a squirt gun, whatever holds liquid, they've been using it. So it's really the ice water challenge more so than the ice bucket. But, you know, it's called the Ice Bucket Challenge, and that's been working for them. And I would say, you know, I can see it being good. You know, they've always come up. You know, the thing about this challenge that's different from the other challenges is that the set yourself on fire challenge wasn't benefiting nothing, not even the fire department. I mean, they weren't raising money or awareness for nothing but stupidity.
Are you finished, Big Mike?
Well, basically, you know, Stevie Mac, that's it, and that's all. Big Mike, and I'm politically astute, and I'm out.
Well, thank you very much. That was Big Mike. And Montel Jackson coming to the show right now is the Reverend Al.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you got that thing together, because I want to be recorded on the right track at the right time in the right place, baby. So, looking at this whole ice bucket challenge, they said that an old lady died from the ice bucket challenge. My thing is this here. Maybe some challenges only, you know, the young should be doing, and the old folks need to sit their ass down and not be trying to partake of some of these challenges. Like, one challenge is the miniskirt on the dance floor challenge. I've seen some old folks need to get their ass home in their rocking chair and not be at the club wearing that miniskirt or them pumps. They're going to sprain an ankle, you know, or catch a pneumonia up under that skirt, a draft blow up under that skirt, and they're going to catch the walking pneumonia.
Don't you mean pneumonia?
No, pneumonia. That's what you get when you get past 70 years old out there on the dance floor. You get pneumonia. It'll floor you.
You've been listening to Stevie Mac Radio, broadcasting live out of Hollywood, California. Getting down with the get down like we always do Monday through Thursday. That day is the call time. Be there or be square. We'll be back here tomorrow with another exciting show. We always tell you to visit StevieMac.com to find out where I'm performing at a place near you. And if a place ain't near you, request it to be near you. Here it is, Fine Town by Chris Brown.
Baby.